Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in today's show, a look at theater programs designed for children and teens. We'll also hear about healthier food options at the Cincinnati Zoo. First up this afternoon... The Kentucky Symphony Orchestra has been making music attractive, accessible, and affordable to audiences in Greater Cincinnati for 23 years. And the KSO performs the first concert of its 20th season at DeVue Park this Saturday. And joining us to take a look at the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra and the unique, fun approach it takes to attract and entertain a wide variety of audiences is KSO conductor J.R. Cassidy. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And J.R., thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
How did the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra get its start?
You know, actually, it's over a beer, really, to be honest with you. I just completed my master's in orchestral conducting at CCM. And I was off, talking about how deep the talent pool is in this region, you know, in terms of all the musicians. I said, you know, we ought to just start our own orchestra over here in Northern Kentucky, because there was a real sense of pride within the 36 cities that, you know, comprise Northern Kentucky and the three counties. And there was really nothing that Northern Kentucky hung their name on other than the university. And so I thought, well, hey, you know, what if we created a symphony that was about the people that lived here and it was attractive, accessible, and affordable? And everybody thought I was crazy. But, you know, Greaves Concert Hall came out over at NKU in 1992. And so there was a place to go. And, you know, we just kind of started calling folks from around the area and put the thing together. They didn't know whether it would work either. And 23 years later, we're still here.
And just to be clear, this is not the traditional route that most conductors take, is it?
Not really, no. I mean, you often go off. I mean, I was interviewing and I was finding that I really didn't fit into the traditional scene, because I always thought we needed to make, you know, classical music a little more relevant and interesting and engaging for people. And the traditional format was great. And I'm a purist at heart, but I thought that it needed to, the presentation needed to be freshened.
Now, how many musicians play in the orchestra?
Well, it really depends on what we're doing. Okay. You know, it depends on the instrumentation required to play the repertoire that we're doing at the time. So, I mean, we've had, you know, we've played Mahler and big Stravinsky ballets and had 90 people on stage, you know, or, you know, we'll do something smaller and, you know, whatever it requires.
Yeah. What are some of the smaller groups that perform with the orchestra? Because that was what we heard in that opening clip, was one of the smaller groups.
Going to say that sounded like an outdoor performance someplace, a vehicle. But anyway, we have four active subsidiary groups and a chorus also. In addition to what this, you know, that fly under the symphony banner, and little subsidiary groups that we thought would be interesting to go out within the community and around, and also dabble in types of music that was not really thought of as being, you know, symphony or such. But I've always kidded folks that said that if music uses an instrument that's used in the orchestra, it's fair game. So that's how this came about. And so we have the Floodwall Jazz Quintet, and it's, essentially we started off doing all the suites of Claude Bowling, you know, that he wrote for Yo-Yo Ma and Jean-Pierre Rampal and all this different, you know, heavy-duty classical musicians. And then we've added Brubeck and Vince Gilardi and all kinds of different Herbie Mann to that group. But then we also have the Newport Ragtime Band, which specializes in, you know, music from Scott Joplin all the way up through Fats Waller, when he was here at WLW in Cincinnati. And then we have the Boogie Band, which you just heard played a little bit of there, where we Terry Labolt has arranged almost all of the music for that particular group. And we have 249 charts of the most popular music from the late 1950s all the way up to the 2010s. And it's really, you know, pretty fascinating. And that's the group that's going to kick off our series at the at the DeVue Park, July 11th.
And having these smaller groups that you're affiliated with, that's all part of the making music more accessible
thing, right? I mean, it's about, you know, having fun, and the musicians get to have fun too, because they're doing some things that they wouldn't necessarily get a chance to play, you know, playing some repertoire. And it's easier for smaller groups to go certainly outdoors and to go in different places that, you know, logistically and fiscally speaking, we couldn't, you know, afford to have the orchestra go.
Now, you were touching on this earlier, JR, about what a great talent pool we have in the Cincinnati area. Why is that? What makes this area so good as far as the talent pool goes?
Well, you have to understand, look at all of that that's here. We have a musician factory in CCM, right? And then we have the wonderful Cincinnati Symphony, whose most of the spouses of the musicians that are in the symphony are also musicians. And they're not chopped liver. I mean, they came here because, you know, their spouse won the job in the Cincinnati Symphony, but they're still really fine musicians. And so you have folks like that who play with us. Then you have, you know, the universities that have music departments and professors here. Our group pool really ranges out to Lexington and to Dayton and Columbus. And so we have musicians coming from those areas as well. So it's a really great group of musicians that get to play with us. And then we get to specialize. You know, one thing that I'm very proud of is, you know, it takes in order to create something, it's a pond here. We're, you know, the Cincinnati Symphony is a big fish. Well, we're a small fish, but if it weren't for us small fishes, you know, there wouldn't be any big fish. And I'm very happy to say that, you know, we've had 1,332 musicians go through the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra over the last 23 years. And many of those folks have gone on to play in orchestras all across the globe. I mean, we have alums in the New York Philharmonic, the Philadelphia Orchestra, certainly many, you know, a number of them in the Cincinnati Symphony, but, you know, up into Dayton, and they're all over the place, and all over the world for that matter. And it's kind of a neat thing to be able to go and pick up a program just about anywhere and go, oh, look who's sitting there playing. You know, they used to play with us for back in 1997, they were with us or whatever. So it says that, you know, we're here for a reason, and we're just, you know, kind of moving people along.
So I take it that unlike the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, the performers with the KSO, these are not full-time jobs. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, we're a contract, you know, service orchestra. I mean, and that's what allows us to be a, you know, very flexible in terms of our programming, our repertoire, and how we go about doing it and how we stay fiscally on track. Because we're able to move our budget with programming as well.
It also allows you to showcase all the talent we have in this
Absolutely.
Area too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
What goes into managing and coordinating that large of a pool of talent like the one we have in this area to make things happen?
Well, you know, we have a personnel manager, and we work a lot. To be honest with you, we spent a lot of hours, days, and, you know, weekends are not off either. So, I mean, it takes time, but it's a thing that we're very proud of, and we have a real love and passion for. So, a lot of folks ask me, you know, what is my job? And I said, well, you know, I'm part coach and I'm part missionary. You know, you have to have that zeal to keep going. And that's kind of what makes it work.
How much growth have you seen with KSO? How many subscribers do you have these days?
Well, you know, that has ebbed and flowed because, you know, we are – one thing that people don't realize that we are, we're kind of the homeless symphony. You know, we don't have music hall or a particular venue that we are in. We started out, you know, as the Northern Kentucky Symphony, over at Northern Kentucky University, you know, for the indoor stuff. And then we always did our summer series at DeVue. But, you know, now we kind of count on churches and schools and different things to be. So we're kind of, where's Waldo at the moment, you know, for the last several seasons. So that has made it a little bit difficult for our subscribers to, you know, keep, you know, like, okay, where are they tonight? You know, type of thing. But, the group has grown, and we do have a loyal following. I mean, you know, you will get thousands out in the park. I mean, people have always said to see us, I don't know, you get this many people out in the park. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's completely up to the people. We never know what's going to show.
Well, and there's an advantage to not having a regular venue. I mean, this again is the accessibility thing. This gets shot in front of more people in the area.
I mean, you know, over the last 2 years, we performed in 14 different venues, you know, with the orchestra. And so that's really, you know, kind of an interesting, way to look at it, because we are actually in the community. You know, we're not, you know, everybody just doesn't have to come to one place. We're actually in Boone, Campbell, and Kenton County.
Your performances are always built around a theme. What are some of the themes you've done in the past?
Oh, geez. We did a concert a couple years ago over at St. Peter's and Chains Cathedral, and we called it Amadeus at Vespers. And it was actually a Vespers service during the weekday, in which we put kind of a bookend, wrapped the opening and the closing music from the movie Amadeus around a real Vespers setting that Mozart wrote for the Salzburg Cathedral. And we actually had worked with Tony DiCello and a priest from the diocese there, to where we actually did the Vespers service inside that kind of mini concert. So those are the types of things. We want to do something different. We don't want to just do things the way it's always been done. We've done the cinematic piano, where we've taken piano concerti that were written specifically for films, you know, by Waxman and all these kinds of stuff. And they're only like 12 to 14 minute, or sometimes shorter, piano concerti. But then we showed the film and then played the piano concerti. So it was just different things. You know, we've done a bunch of different types of programs out there.
Sounds like you're always trying to work in some kind of a creative element into the whole thing.
Well, it needs to have some kind of a visual element a lot of times with it. And the most important part is what I'm very proud of too, is I know that when audiences leave our concerts, they leave knowing more than they did when they came. Because it's our way of, you can educate people without telling them they're being educated. You know, you can, by incorporating the theme or kind of just offhandedly telling them why you put something together or something to look forward to in this particular piece. And they walk out and go, I had no idea that was that way for that reason. I always thought this. And so it's kind of fun to know that they're leaving and knowing something.
You did a show, was it last year, with Dean Regas from the
Observatory,
and also involved a light show?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was a performance that we hardly ever repeat anything that we do, but we did the planets. I forgot what we called it. It was a thematic thing, but we also added Earth. We added Husa's Apotheosis of This Earth for chorus and orchestra, because we figure if you're doing all the planets, you might as well do the one that we live on. But, you know, certainly we had all the NASA footage, and that's something that orchestras do all the time. But, we were able to have Dean come in and actually come in and talk about it. And then they had telescopes sitting out. The observatory brought three or four telescopes that actually trained on the planets that could be seen that night. And so during intermission, the entire audience goes out, looks up at looks through the telescopes, and then they come back in and they hear the rest of the concert. So it was a reason to, you know, kind of work together. And we actually did that program back before they renovated the observatory, and the place was just, rain was coming through the roof and everything else, and long before Dean was associated with them. So it was kind of cool to do it again and see how far the observatory has gone too.
We'll continue our conversation about the Kentucky Symphony Orchestra, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Cincinnati Edition is sponsored by the Hale and Johnson Foundations, now investing in individuals via People's Liberty. You can learn more about grant and residency opportunities at peoplesliberty.org. Support comes from the agents of Robinson Sotheby's International Realty, striving to provide superior service at all price levels. Their clients also benefit from relocation connections from around the globe. You can find them at robinsonsir.com. That's robinsonsir.com. Support comes from the Hamilton Mill, Southwestern Ohio's small business incubator for green, clean, water, digital, and advanced manufacturing technologies. The Hamilton Mill is a regional platform to connect startups with the resources they need to be successful, advisory services, collaborative partnerships, and funding connections with ease of access to both the Cincinnati and Dayton markets. More at hamiltonmill.org.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, Kentucky Symphony Orchestra conductor J.R. Cassidy. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And you started the summer series at the DeVue Park Band Show, what, 1995?
1995, yes.
How did that whole thing get its start?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny because, you know, for years that band show, which was a WPA structure built in 1939, was a real place, a draw for the community, because you got to remember there wasn't a lot competing for your attention, your time. So people would go up there and they would have Cheetah the Chimp from the Tarzan movies or Jimmy Durante. And then, you know, when you had the Lookout House and Beverly Hills, they would actually sign into contracts at the Lookout House that you had to go and perform an hour at the band shell in DeVue Park. So people were just drawn there on a weekly basis in the summertime. So, you know, that had kind of fallen on disrepair and different things. And then, somebody came to me and said, can we get those concerts started back at the park? And I thought, well, sure. I think that'd be a great idea. So we went up there and Scripps Howard was, I guess, a sponsor at the beginning. And, it's been really a great idea. And we've seen like 330,000 people up there over the years.
Now on Saturday, you're going to be performing hits of the Big Red Machine era. Now, tell us about that, Jay.
Yeah, that's our boogie band. We thought, how do we get tied into the All-Star game or to that whole idea of baseball and the Reds and the like? And I thought, well, I don't want to do Casey at the bat and take me out to the ball game. Let's do something that kind of really takes people back. So we thought between 1970 and 1976, the Reds were in four World Series, but the music of the time, you know, the pop music of the time, we can do. And so you're going to hear, you know, the Hollies and, Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody and Stevie Wonder and Barry Manilow and you name it. We got it. So we have seven vocalists that are going to go up there with our boogie band, who are all, you know, studio class musicians that are going to sit in there and play the stuff just like you heard it on the recording.
Now you've got the Zoot Suit Riot coming up on August the 1st.
That sounds great. That's our new, this will be the public debut of our brand new subsidiary group called the Covington DeVoodoo Daddies. And what we decided is that the ragtime band is a lot of fun. And so what's the next thing? Well, you know, swing kind of came there in the 40s. And I thought, well, I don't want to just go and do the old big band swing era. Let's go to the 90s where we had the swing revival and you had Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, the Squirrel Nut Zippers, Royal Crown Review, Cherry Poppin' Daddies, you know, and all these Brian Setzer doing all this great, great music in the 90s, which isn't so far removed. And we have the guys that can just play it. So it's a lot of fun and, you know, bring your swing dancing shoes and just have a ball because the band is killer.
Now you got the Battle of Broadway. That's September 5th, I believe.
Right. Sondheim and Weber ruled the boards from the 70s through the 80s. It's like, what hit are they going to produce next? Well, we're fortunate in that we have two Cincinnati ladies. Jessica is living in New York now, but Jessica Hendy and Pamela Myers are both Broadway vets. Pam, you know, starred in Company. She was the original in the musical Company, and she's going to be coming here and she'll talk about Stephen Sondheim because she knows him, and then Jessica sang Cats on Broadway. She was Grisabella, the one sings Memory, and so she's the one that closed Cats on Broadway, and so she's going to be here, and along we have a couple IU students, and we're going to do like 16 of their hits. shows, music from 16 of their hit shows, that evening, that September 5th, but, with the whole orchestra, and, it should be a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. So with all these different musicians and different shows, how do you get them all together to rehearse and pull all this together?
Well, we, like I say, our personnel manager, we call them up, we say, hey, are you available? And sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. And, you know, every time we pull the orchestra together, it's, you know, it's a lot of new faces. I mean, because that's just what we are, you know, we're kind of, it's a little bit transient, but they're all really, really fine musicians. And, you know, we're able to do a lot of different things.
So how persistent do you have to be to get things to come together the way you want them to come together?
Oh, you'd have no idea. I mean, I was told one time we did the 50th anniversary of West Side Story and they couldn't, rent the show to us because the orchestra wasn't going to be in a pit. It was going to be on stage. And they said, we just don't allow that to happen. And so I called the Bernstein Estate and I emailed and I wrote them a letter and I faxed and I called and I emailed and I called and I emailed. I kept doing it until they told me yes. So, I mean, that's usually the case is, you know, you just keep going and you're persistent, especially if it's an idea that you think should be out there.
Didn't you have a similar experience? You're trying to put together something with the music of Spike Jonze and that
yes. Actually, you know, I called Spike. I tracked down his son. Spike Jr. is actually his name. And, I said, hey, I want to do the music of your father. He said, oh, everybody wants to do the music of your father. I said, then I'm just everybody sitting on the end of a phone here. How about I meet you for lunch in Beverly Hills? So I jumped on a plane, went out, met him for lunch. We got done talking about 2 hours later. He went out to his car and hands me a box, a copy paper box full of manuscript. And he says, this is all that's left of my dad's music. And he handed it to me. So we came back and Terry LaBolt and everyone got together and we put it all back together again via recordings and everything else and actually performed it. It's pretty wild. Actually Spike's biographer says that we're the only group that can play his music.
that is an accomplishment. Do you ever get objections to spicing up a performance with some kind of a surprise? Someone who might say to you, you know, you're messing with tradition.
I've gotten hate mail before. Come on, are you kidding? Yeah, sure. You know, we did a show.
You're so nice.
Yeah, we did a show. We said I think it was called Beethoven's in the House, and we were doing an all Beethoven, you know, concert, but we had to do it differently. So what we did is we got a local actor to really bone up and read letters and get an understanding of what Beethoven was like and what he was doing at the time. And then we dressed him up, brought in a DeLorean and had him pop out of the DeLorean.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, there we go. And so we brought him back and he got to interact with the orchestra and everything. And I said, it's basically performance art crashing into the concert. And some people didn't take that very well. Musicians didn't take it well. So, I mean, I just did it as an experiment and we were going to see how it went. Actually, it was fine in the end. Everybody kind of got it, but, at first it was really,
it was a little rocky.
Yeah.
So give us the details again on Saturday's performance.
Saturday's performance is, at 7:30, at the DeVue Park Band Shell. It's free. We do take donations, and any donation that you make in the park actually will be matched. So you're actually really doubling what you're giving. And also, you can take the tank shuttle up from Covington Catholic beginning at 6 o'clock, and then they'll take you up to the park and take you back. It's $1 each way, but it's a great way. You don't have to worry about parking up in the park and schlepping your stuff because they drop you right off at the front of the band show.
Should you bring your own blankets and chairs?
Bring your own blankets and chairs. There's no seating. It's a concert bowl in the true sense.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Kentucky Symphony Orchestra conductor J.R. Cassidy. Coming up, theater programs designed for children and teens and the many benefits and skills they offer. Also, we'll hear about healthier food options at the Cincinnati Zoo. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.